It's time to talk some SEC football. Boy, we've been all around the world and back. Now we're getting back to SEC football, and the man that knows probably the most of anybody I know, that would be John Cooper from Saturday Down South. John, what's up, my man?
What's going on, RJ?
Oh, not a lot. Just talking some SEC football, and I got to ask, you know, this story came out the other day about the SEC wanting to form a Division IV conference. And, you know, we've talked about it a lot over the last, I guess, year and a half, about how you get the Big Five conferences and they make a Division IV. Let me ask you, John, would that be good for college football? Would it be good for the SEC if that were to happen?
I don't think it'd be good for the sport that we all love. I think it'd actually be bad for the sport. You know, when Mike Sly really brings this up, you got to look at it two ways. You can look at it as either a legitimate threat that he's making, or is it really a negotiation tactic and a ploy to really get the NCAA to really vote on what they want, and that's autonomy of the Big Five conferences. And, you know, they want to make their own legislative practices, their own rules, and that's fine, and they want to do it under the umbrella of the NCAA. But, you know, Sly rattling the saber a little bit just reminds the NCAA that, you know, you either give us autonomy or we're going to create our own autonomy in a Division IV type, which, you know, at this point, I think that it's more of a negotiation tactic. I'm not sure that it's a legitimate threat yet, but, you know, this vote's coming around in August, and once we tailor into SEC media days, then, you know, everybody's sitting on the edge of their seat. The vote's right around the corner. It could turn into more of a high-level threat type of activity, but I do think, you know, if autonomy is the way to go, I do think that's the best way to go as opposed to a Division IV.
John, let me ask you this. I don't know if a lot of people have thought about this, but let's, for example, say that this were to happen, okay? Well, then if they went and did a Division IV, that would mean that your non-conference schedules would be against, let's say, a Florida. Like, let's take Arkansas, for example, since this is where we're at. Your non-conference schedule is already tough, or your conference schedule is already tough with the SEC, but then your non-conference games, you would be scheduling teams like the Oklahoma States of the world, the Florida States. There's no more Rutgers in there. There's no more Northern Illinois in there. It seems to me like that would hurt some of these teams that are in the SEC by having a tough schedule from the very start to the very end.
Well, certainly it would, and I think it hurts the rest of college football too. I mean, you got to remember these lower conference teams, somebody in a MAC of Northern Illinois. They, this is the way they make their money. They're not going to meet their budget unless, you know, these big schools pay them a check to come and play them. So I think overall it hurts all football. Plus, you know, it puts an added schedule together, and really the only advocate of this so far, you know, in my mind, has been Nick Saban, who wants to play a ridiculously hard schedule every year, and that's fine. But I think at this point it's more of a negotiation tactic as opposed to a threat, but it would add a nasty strength of schedule, which we're moving in that direction really already. The conference itself is allowing the 14-member schools to really decide whether or not they want to schedule FCS teams even. So, the Big Ten's made a play to where they're not going to schedule them in the future. The SEC is letting its member institutions decide what's best for it. But making a schedule is tough nowadays.
John, Bo Pelini came out and said he wants to do away with National Signing Day, being able for players to sign, I guess, whenever they're offered. Don't know if he wants them to be seniors. I'm not for that. And then there was been talk about an early signing period, and instead of just having your National Signing Day, what do you see the future of college football? Having an early signing period, being able to sign when the scholarship's there, are sticking with that National Signing Day?
You know, I think for the short term and the near future, I don't see anything changing. The biggest, you know, idea in my mind is the timing of it. When are you going to put it in the schedule? Is it going to be over the summer? Most coaches don't want that. Is it going to be in August? Coaches are gearing up for the season. They don't want any distractions. And then, you know, the SEC is a proponent of it. There has to be some changes made. It's the first Monday after Thanksgiving, so that would pit it right around the 1st of December. So, you know, that's kind of the play right now. But you got to remember, this isn't, you know, really that big of a distraction to these coaches. It's another added thing on the line, sure, from a crazy, already hectic schedule these coaches have. But, you know, the early signing period is really for those prospects who are dead set on going where they want, and nothing's going to change that. If you're a Florida or a Tennessee or an Arkansas legacy, and you know that's where you're going, and there's a risk that the coach may leave, you know, you sign at your own risk, and that's really for the prospects. We're talking about a very minute, a very small percentage of prospects that would really sign at an early signing period. In my mind, we already have early enrollment for these prospects who are dead set on going and can graduate early. So in my mind, it's not that big of a deal, but I don't see it happening anytime soon.
John Cooper from SaturdayDownSouth.com. John, I saw a story that was linked on Saturday Down South, but it linked back to Athlon Sports, where they made predictions for the 2014 SEC season, and they've got Georgia winning out of the East and Alabama out of the West, but they said they've got LSU number four. How do you see the West in particularly just shaping up for this upcoming season?
Well, it's going to be a brutal slate once again. And I thought really the last couple of years, you know, there was really some big teams in the West and really only a few teams that could win it. You know, Auburn made a fool out of everybody that thought that last year. So here you have this year, which was the East was more of a thrilling storyline to me the last couple of years. And, you know, I think there's a lot of parity in the West. There's a lot of issues with several teams, you know, that can allow a dark horse situation. You know, in my mind, dark horses would be Ole Miss, and a dark horse would be Mississippi State. You know, it's rare that the two Mississippi teams are really on the up and up in the same year. One's usually up, one's usually down. Both of them have high expectations, loaded rosters, and returning quarterbacks. So the West is so interesting. But here's what I think about the SEC West right now. I think Auburn is the best football team, not only in the West, but I think it's the best football team in the conference. But at the end of the day, you have to take advantage of the schedule, and Alabama has the most opportune schedule again this year, which I think is going to allow them to probably win the division, but it's going to come down in my mind to the Iron Bowl. I could see Ole Miss playing a spoiler role. They're loaded. You know, they have one of the most talented rosters in college football. I do think LSU is in for a little bit of a rebuilding year along with Texas A&M, and I see Arkansas, unfortunately, bringing up the rear in the West.
You know, they didn't win a conference game last year, that being Arkansas. Do you see a win or two this year for the Hogs in conference play?
You know what? Just looking at that schedule, it's just absolutely brutal. I think there are three really nasty schedules this year. Arkansas, Tennessee, and Florida all just have brutal schedules. You know, specifically looking at Arkansas' schedule, there's not really one team that they're going to be favored against, certainly in the conference. I think there's a couple of swing games in there, and certainly one of them is Texas A&M. Neutral site game. They got to take advantage of obviously replacing some key pieces for Texas A&M, and their defense was just brutal last year. So assuming Arkansas can create some type of production on offense and then in the passing game, I see really two swing games. One's Mississippi State, the other one's Texas A&M. Outside of those two games, it's brutal. I mean, you got Missouri from the East, you got Georgia as the crossover games. So in my mind, it's going to come down to Texas A&M, Mississippi State.
And then when you mentioned it a little bit earlier about the SEC, and so let me just tell you a couple names. You tell me which one of these quarterbacks are going to be the easiest or the hardest to replace, because you look at Connor Shaw, South Carolina, Aaron Murray, Georgia, Zach Mettenberger, LSU, A.J. McCarron, Alabama, Johnny Manziel, A&M. Out of those quarterbacks, which one of these teams do you think takes a step back, and then which one of these teams do you think will be easier to replace one of these quarterbacks?
Well, it's interesting. I think two teams really to watch as taking a step back is LSU and Texas A&M. And, you know, LSU, I mean, you're nasty. You got a 3,000-yard passer, two 1,000-yard receivers, 1,300-yard rusher, and they're all gone. And a guy like Mettenberger was really the catalyst for all of that. He had a fantastic year. So I think LSU is in for a little bit of a rebuilding process on offense. They're going to put together a nice defense again. I think A&M obviously replacing Manziel and Mike Evans. They're not going to be as electrifying as they were, certainly. And, you know, that's really two teams in my mind that could take a step back. I think one team that obviously two teams that they're kind of set up for success, if they have just, you know, kind of marginal or a little bit better than average quarterback play. I think Georgia's set up really well with a deep backfield, a nice receiving rotation out there with some deep threats, some possession receivers. Hudson Mason steps in for Aaron Murray. I think they have a really nice opportunity to create a lot of production on offense. And lastly would be Alabama. I mean, they're just loaded. Lane Kiffin really gets the keys to a Ferrari out there, and obviously Jacob Coker, the Florida State transfer, is coming. Everybody anticipates him to win the job. I think he will, you know, primarily based on the guys who are there right now, who haven't really shown they can, you know, take the reins of that offense and really move the football. So I think Alabama certainly and Georgia are set up for success with their situation, and LSU and A&M probably are going to take a little bit of a step back.
John Cooper from Saturday Down South joining us on Overtime. Now, we talked a lot about the West just a minute ago, but let's focus on the East for a minute. You did say that, you know, you liked Auburn out of the West, but when I look at the East, Athlon's got Georgia leading the pack on the Eastern side. Do you see anybody, you know, coming up and being a dark horse in that conference? Because Florida, I seem to think Florida might turn things around and try to contend this year.
I do too. And I think there's one dark horse team that you're watching out of the East. I think there's really two in my mind. It's Florida and Missouri. If you can believe, Missouri is, you know, not going to get a lot of respect. There's some key pieces they're replacing. They're going to be a nice team. Matty Mauk showed some flashes last year that I actually think the offense can take a step forward even without DGB on the outside. And, you know, Florida's another team that can play spoiler. Obviously, the two favorites are going to be Georgia, South Carolina. You know, Georgia concerns me right now. I think they're going to be really good on offense. The front seven on defense is going to be really productive. They're going to create a lot of havoc in the backfield. Jeremy Pruitt, the secondary man, scares me to death. And they've had three starters leave the program this offseason. Two of the most talented players on their team, Josh Harvey-Clemens, Trey Matthews, are no longer there. And they got to replace those guys, and there's going to be a lot of inexperience on that you know, side of the ball. So, you know, I think Georgia was the favorite. In my mind right now, South Carolina is creeping up there. It wouldn't surprise me if they won the East.
When you look at Kentucky and Arkansas, both 0-8 in conference, which one of those teams gets their first conference win this year?
Great question, and it's a difficult one to answer at this point. But you know what? I'm going to go – let's see here. I'm going to go with Kentucky. I think that they can actually squeeze one out this year. Don't know who it is at this point. Some key games. They get Mississippi State, too, and Tennessee. That's going to be a really interesting game with Tennessee. And we don't know what kind of team Vanderbilt's going to have under Derek Mason, the new head coach. So at this point, I have to go with the easier division in Kentucky. I think they're actually a little bit better football team than Arkansas at this point.
Wow. Hadn't heard that said I don't think ever that Kentucky's better at football than Arkansas.
Yeah, and so Arkansas didn't make a bowl game last year, so you pretty much Arkansas waits again and probably don't make a bowl game this year, huh?
You know, the question becomes, you know, how long is it going to take Brett Bielema to rebuild the roster? It's going to come down to the Jimmies and the Joes. You can scheme. You can have any type of scheme that you want. Fact of the matter is they're running such a similar style of play to LSU and Alabama in the smash mouth. There's really nothing creative on the offensive side of the ball that you get from a Texas A&M or an Auburn, nothing to really set them apart and differentiate themselves. So to me, it comes down to the amount of talented players that they can recruit. And I just see, you know, how long is it going to take and how patient are Arkansas fans really going to be?
Wow, that was you kind of shocked me there for a minute, John, when you said Kentucky. But either way, hey, real quick, I want to ask you this. You know, there's been a lot made about this SEC network, and you know, I think it's going to be a good thing eventually. But right now, I only know of like one or two networks that are or satellite cable providers that are picking this thing up. I would imagine as it gets closer, you'll start seeing, you know, DirecTV and other things jump on board. But really, I mean, where is the negotiating on this? Because it just seems like it's at a stalwart right now where nobody's wanting to pick this thing up.
Well, it's certainly interesting. And obviously, Dish has already signed on. They're gigantic. They have a lot of pride in what they're doing right now because they're the first really major satellite provider that really jumped on board. And, you know, you have DirecTV and you have Comcast really waiting to get on board here. And, you know, a lot of SEC fans are ringing their doorbell, and they're sending them nasty stuff on Twitter to hopefully get them in the mood. But, you know, I think before it's all said and done and before the first game, now the network launches on the 14th. First game isn't for the next week or so, week and a half. I do think these two providers are going to pick this SEC network up, but there's going to be a negotiation ploy. There's going to be a stalwart all the way up to the first game, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's going to get ugly before it gets good. I know that's for sure.
And, okay, so Kentucky, new coach last year, Arkansas, new coach. What of these coaches do you see being on the hot seat this year? Is Mark Richt ever on the hot seat? Because we've had this conversation before here. I really think they've underachieved his time there, and it's tough to say because he has a lot of 10-win seasons, but I am surprised with all that talent. They have not won a national championship yet.
You know what? They put the most players in the NFL, I believe, over the last 5 years at Georgia. The amount of talent they have, I mean, they have the state on lockdown right now. There's a ton of prospects coming out. Obviously, Auburn, Alabama's raiding the state right now. But, you know, the one coach that enters on the hot seat is no doubt Will Muschamp. I think he has an opportunity. He bought him a little time by hiring a new offensive coordinator, making a change. At the end of the day, if you're Jeremy Foley, athletic director, you have to ask yourself, what's improvement? You know, had Florida been healthy last year, they're probably an 8-win team. So if they win 8 this year, it's an improvement from 4, but it's obviously not where you need to be at Florida, where you expect to compete for national championships every single year. So that's really going to be the test of patience is with Jeremy Foley and how patient he and the boosters and the fan base are going to be. You know, Mark Richt has underachieved, and at the end of the day, I actually think he's underappreciated for what he's done. And you know, you can point to a lot of different games. They were 5 yards away, you know, a couple of years ago against Alabama. No doubt they would have beat Notre Dame for the national championship. So, you know, is time running out? You know, who knows? But Mark Richt's not on the hot seat.
He is John Cooper with Saturday Down South. You can follow him on Twitter at JONSDS. That is John Cooper. And always a good time, John. You, I tell you, you know more about the SEC than I think I ever will, and I appreciate your time.
All right, RJ, you guys take care, man.